7 weeks on, the sex trafficking trial of rapper Sean Diddy Combs is drawing to a close. This high-profile trial heard from more than 30 witnesses, including the rapper's ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, as well as former employees of his company, Bad Boy Entertainment, male escorts, law enforcement officers and hotel staff. Combs himself chose not to give evidence, and of course that is his right. Closing statements from prosecution and defence begin today. Journalist Megan Cunniff has been covering the case, and I asked her to first remind us of the charges and the case against Combs.
So the prosecutors are pursuing a racketeering conspiracy charge against him, which is like an organized crime charge. And then there's two counts of transportation for prostitution and two counts of sex trafficking. And those both involve Cassie Ventura and then a woman who testified under the pseudonym Jane. And then there's the racketeering charge has different elements to it, such as forced labor regarding an employee named Capricorn Clark and also an employee who testified under the pseudonym Mia. And prosecutors have actually whittled down the racketeering charge a bit to eliminate some of the so-called overt acts that they were saying supported the racketeering charge. The jury will be looking at these overt acts, and they have to decide whether there was an agreement between Diddy and a co-conspirator to commit at least two of these predicate acts in furtherance of the criminal enterprise that prosecutors are alleging. And the acts that they've abandoned include kidnapping and arson, which relate to Scott Mascuddy's testimony. He's a rapper named Kid Cudi, and he was a pretty big star witness in the trial, and so much of his testimony was about his relationship with Cassie Ventura and Diddy finding out about it, and then his car, his Porsche car in Los Angeles, getting torched with a Molotov cocktail.
This is a complex story aligned to the charges that have been brought by the prosecution, probably best told through the testimony that we've heard from some 30 witnesses. I just want to concentrate maybe on two of them. His ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura. Talk to me about Cassie Ventura, first of all, and what she said.
Yes, Cassie was really the first star witness of this case, and it's her lawsuit that really started the criminal case. And she described years of coerced sex. It was sex with prostitutes that she made clear she didn't want to participate in, that she was doing it to make him happy. And of course, the defense has been that there's a little more to that story, and perhaps she was a more willing participant than she's letting on. But the bulk of the testimony was about not only coerced sex with prostitutes, but also assault and Diddy being very vicious and mean to her.
There's another witness called Jane, and she also gave evidence about something called freakouts. What are freakouts?
Cassie referred to them as freakoffs, and Jane called them, I believe it was, Jane called them hotel nights. She actually didn't call them freakouts or freakoffs. She used the name hotel nights, and that was when Sean Combs wanted to get together at a hotel with and watch her have sexual relations with other men.
Sean Diddy Combs decided not to give evidence on, I'm sure, instructions from his own lawyers, and that is his right. But what case did the defense set out?
He did present a lot of evidence. There were a lot of defense exhibits. He didn't have any witnesses and he didn't testify. But the bulk of his defense and a lot of the defense in these cases is cross-examination of the prosecution witnesses. And they definitely put on a robust defense there. And they had a lot of their own exhibits, their own text messages that they entered as exhibits and evidence.
Did they paint a picture, Megan, of Sean Diddy Combs and his personality? Because they did make concessions, as you say. One of those concessions was that he had been violent in the past.
Yes. They did say in opening statement that he was violent. It's hard for them to deny that when there's a video of it. But they were saying that this was domestic violence, this was a toxic relationship, and that this is the government basically getting into his private business, his private sex life, and trying to prosecute him for it.
So we're now into the final few days of this trial. The defense will make final speeches, as will the prosecution, and the judge will charge the jury. But the defense has already sought to have this case struck out. Was that unusual?
No, it happens in every trial. His Rule 29 of Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure allows for a judge to enter a judgment of acquittal after the prosecution presents all their evidence if, for some reason, the judge just does not believe that the case is there and it shouldn't even go to the jury. So in really every trial I've covered, in civil trials too, I see it. It's a different rule under civil procedure, but Rule 29 motions are totally common.
If he is found guilty by this jury on some or all of the charges, what sort of prison time might he face?
There is a possibility of life in prison under the racketeering charge, but if he doesn't get convicted of that, the other charges carry less time, but it really remains to be seen. But he could get a mixed bag here and escape a life sentence for sure.
And that was journalist Megan Cunniff talking to me a little earlier. It's 7:45.